Welcome back to the second hour of 2 hours of Jewish soul music. This is Charlie Bernhout, and I'm so excited to have with me my good friend, cantor Yossi Malavani, and we're talking about his experiences in the world of Chazanis and other areas of his life. Good evening, Yossi.
Good evening, Charlie.
Oh, I'm so pleased the way things are going, and I want to pick up where you were in England at the Edgware United Synagogue for 5 years, and then you came to the United States, and I know you've been at the Fifth Avenue Synagogue for 37 years.
Yes, I am, yeah.
Wow, that's...
Yes, I'm going to get a Nobel Prize for this. But it's a wonderful shul, wonderful people, lovely people, and it's wonderful to work there, to be the chazan. The respect is there. We have a lot of European people, and even some of the original ones are not anymore with us, but they've left a legacy that has been kept very much intact, and I've been davening ever since.
It's a unique shul, to say the least.
Yes, it is unique. The people that we have some wonderful people. Who are extremely prominent in every aspect of life, Jewish life, of course. And, I mean, we have Elie Wiesel, we used to have Yitzhak Perlman, Leonard Bernstein used to come to us, the president of the World Bank, Jimmy Wolfenson, and many, many others. One of the presidents we have was Victor Barnett, a nephew of the late Sir Isaac Wolfson. We have some lovely, lovely, lovely Balabat team, and they love Chazones, and they like to finish on Shabbat by 12 o'clock. So, listen, I daven every Shabbos, and I have no problem with that. There is always time to do one or maybe even two pieces, or sometimes I don't like to do pieces. I like to jump on a certain aspect of the tefillah and to dwell on it for 1 minute or 1.5 minutes, and to do something with the with that particular text, and then get on with it. And also, what is very important, Charlie, is because unfortunately I do not have a choir, only for slichot I have. I have taught my congregation over the years beautiful nigunim, beautiful melodies, and a Fifth Avenue Synagogue is a singing synagogue. It is a center of prayer, of singing. And what I've devised was something very interesting, and I would like to recommend it to many of my colleagues who may not necessarily have a choir, and that is to have congregational singing, and in between to come in with a little bit of chazones. So it nobody can be bored, because there is something for everybody, those who want to sing, those who want to hear chazones, and those who don't care, because we get on with the davening. As David Kosevitsky used to say to me always, I get on with the davening. And it is so true. We have to. Especially if you are a permanent chazan davening all the time. So you cannot eat steak every day.
What I particularly enjoy, which is your prayer for the state of Israel, which is always
Mishaberach, especially for the soldiers and all the people who are dealing with the security matters of Israel.
Yes.
I have a nice recitative, and it goes well. The rabbi says other prayers, and I say the Mishaberach for the soldiers.
Yes, yes, it's always filled with soul, to say the least.
Yes.
Well, speaking of soul, there is the next chazan is cantor Leib Glantz, and we're going to be hearing Ahavti.
Yes, Ahavti is one of my most favorite pieces from Glantz. I knew Glantz. I was not a student of his. But I can call myself that I am, because his approach to Chazanut and in terms of Chazanut HaMachshava, it's not only the emotion, but the thinking, the thoughts behind it. As I tried to explain to you in the previous hour, Glantz was one of the big advocates of that. And this is from Hallel, of course. It's a Perek Tehillim. It's a Kapitel Tehillim. And he is sort of chats with God. you will hear in many places there, most places, you can hardly hear voice. It's almost an imitation of the his notion of how a Jew approaches God and how a Jew prays to God.
It's interesting that his son wrote a book about his father, The Man Who Spoke to God.
That's right. A man who spoke to God, Jerry.
Jerry Glantz, yes.
Friend of mine. And the book is an excellent book with interesting articles. And yes, absolutely so. And Glantz was a genius of geniuses.
Okay.
And so, of course, he had a unique type of a voice.
For sure.
And he caught the imagination of the Jewish public in spite of the fact that he was a mechadesh, you know. He had a lot of new ideas in Chazones, and because he was an outstanding musician, which is something which I advocate, of course, for every Chazon to be, otherwise they will never be great creators, he was able to combine the musicianship, the voice, the interpretation of the text. He was a Talmud Chochem. He knew he could give a Gemara Shiur without any problem. He and Israel
really?
Alter...
Wow.
They were great friends, by the way. And to be in their midst once in Tel Aviv on an evening, we were about five people, and Glantz and Alter were conducting a conversation. You can imagine. The only pity was that it was not recorded.
Wow. Well, of course, his classic is Shema Yisrael, but I tell you that listeners who've heard me over the years, 32, 33 years, know that his Ki Hinei Kachomer is one of my favorites.
Sure, good. Sure, everything.
Yes.
So I chose this particular piece because this is a sort of the simple human person in relations with God.
Okay, so let's hear Leib Glantz, Ahavti.
Ahavti, ahavti, kishma doshem et koli, koli. Hanunna Afti Afti Kitaznoli Kitaznoli Uriyama Afafui chevlei mavet Umitzarei sheol mitzor Tzara ve'yogon Tzara ve'yogon emtza Uveshei adoshem akero Hanun Harosheb Vitzadik שומר פתאים אשר דלותי דלותי ולי ולי יושיע
Certainly unique, to say the least.
It's unique, if I may, Charlie, for make two sentences about it.
Of course.
You can, when you take this Perek Tehillim and you analyze it from a literary point of view, there are three parts to it. One part, and the way he understood it, as I understand, as he must have understood. And first of all, Ahavti Ki Yishma Hashem, this is my own personal feeling. That I don't have to advertise so much. So it's very quiet and it's sort of chatty. After that comes the famous burst, the glance burst. Ki chilatzta nafshi, I thank you God, you got me out of death. And I'm alive. And then after that he becomes very elegant. And he talks, ani em, emanti ki adaber, ani aniti meod, I speak to you God, from the point of view of emunah, from the point of view of faith. And in other words, I'm convinced that what you are doing, God, is the right thing. And that is done in an elegant, beautiful way. And the conclusion is, kol ha'adam kozev, in a final analysis, the human being is kozev, is garnished, is nothing. So instead of kol adam kozev, what are we, am I proud to announce that human beings are nothing? That's not my goal as a chazan. So kol adam kozev, he goes down and he ends very simply. He doesn't need to impress anybody. Not every chazones piece has to end with a knack, with a big crescendo.
Yes, no. At the concerts, it seems that that's the way.
I beg your pardon?
It seems to be at the concerts that that's the way.
Yes, but even at the concert, this is the difference, because in chazones, because it's holy text, this is not an opera text of a silly story, that most of the stories of the operas are silly.
Mm-hmm.
Here, it's a holy text. It is something that is the essence of our being as human beings who do believe in God. But we have to explain and to express to the people, how do we believe in God? Who is God? How do I handle the expression of my belief and faith in God? And Glantz is the world's biggest expert on that.
For sure. Yes.
There is no question about it. By the way, I wanted just to mention that something that I omitted in the previous hour when I sang the Vil Yerushalayim Ircha, the Moshe Kusevitzky, I forgot to mention that it begins with a beautiful nigun of Ben Zion Schenker.
Uh-huh.
Ben Zion Schenker is still with us, thank God, going strong, the composer of for the Moshe Rebbe and Moshe Nigunim. And that's he composed this melody of Yerushalayim Ircha. Of course, I arranged it for the choir and chazan.
Well, Ben Zion Schenker had a great influence on me in my early days, and still
lucky?
Does today, yes.
You're
yes,
lucky?
Yes. Now, I understand that you were very good friends with David. We're going to hear his Hama Avir Bonov. Tell us a little bit about David.
Yeah, well, David, in Israel used to be, when we grew up, a program called Chazanut Kevakashatcha, cantorial music at your request.
Uh-huh.
And whenever they used to announce, we are going to play David Kusevitzky singing a Mavir Banav with a choir, everybody knew, oh, the Malovani family is asking for it. And without fail, they used to say, well, we are playing it at the request of this one or the request of that one. Always the Malovani, my late father, Naftali Malovani, or Yossi Malovani himself, and my brother, and my sister, my mother. It was... it was not David. It's not David's piece. It's a piece that was composed by David Moshe Steinberg. And it has some influence from the opera La Juive, especially if you listen to the opera La Juive, the Jewess has the scene of the Seder, the Pesach Seder, and there is the tenor sings it. Of course, it's in French, and the choir repeat, and it's very, very similar. And I have a feeling that Steinberg must have been influenced by that opera very much. It's a beautiful opera. Here, David Kusevitzky worked with Hermann Zalis, and Hermann Zalis was the conductor for him, and he arranged it for chazan and choir. And David, with his beautiful tenor voice, sings it on a high key, very high key. I think it's a B-flat major, if I'm not mistaken, and very impressive and very dramatic. And again, it interprets the great song of victory that God got us through the sea of the Red Sea, Yam Suf, and Bisimcha Rabba v'amru kulam, everybody is very happy that Hashem saved us at that time, the exodus from Egypt.
If I may, I want to dedicate this to a young man in your shul. He came to me this past Shabbos, and he said he listens every week to Alexander Rabinowitz, Larry's
kid, yeah, sure.
He loves Chazanis, and
love very much,
and he says that he catches the show, and I hope that I'm sure he'll be listening. So, Alexander, this is for you and your dad.
We'll make sure that he listens to it.
Okay. Okay, this is David Kusevitzky, Hamavir Bonov. Powerful.
Very powerful. And by the way, it was not in B-flat major. It was in the Victorious scale, C major, what we call the Victorious scale. And he was outstanding. Of course, he was a much younger man. He was early in his career when he came to America, and it's just a favorite of mine.
There's a member of your shul, Andy Feynman, who is a great fan of David's.
Right.
And actually for his wedding, I put together 6 CDs of every recording of David's. He said that, that was the best present he ever got.
Yeah, he comes to my shul. He's a member. He loves Chazones.
Right.
He loves my Chazones.
Yes.
He's a very good friend. I sang at his wedding.
Really? Yeah.
Sure.
I love Aviva. It's such a nice...
It's
nice.
Good to have in shul people who love Chazones.
Oh, that's
you,
for sure.
It gives you a lot of encouragement.
For sure.
Sure.
Now, we're coming up to Genshoff with Betzeis Yisrael.
Yeah, but there again, you know, there is the big argument, how do you say Hallel? We have the usual Nusach, but one could mistakenly slip into Rosh Hashanah Nusach. It's in the minor, and people cry. And the question is, in Hallel, what is there to cry? With the exception of Kichilatzta Nafshi Mimaves, why cry? So Zulzer in Vienna devised the entire Hallel on a major key, because it's a victory, it's a thanksgiving, really, to Hashem. And when you thank Hashem, you don't have to cry. You have to sing in a happier, or certainly in a majestic way. Because when you thank Hashem, you praise Him. Thanking and praising is connected, especially when it's with God, and therefore it's in a major key. Glantz has a theory. I don't want to become too academic now.
Uh-huh.
He has a theory what happened, why it slipped into a minor key, and he talks about old scales, old oriental scales, and part of them do remind you a bit of, maybe someday I'll give a lecture and I will illustrate it properly and explain to the people what it is all about, because it's important for people to know. What Genshoff does here, and Genshoff was very much a machshove dike chazen, a man who thinks. I knew Genshoff, of course, very, very well. And Genshoff sings it as a major, Betzeis Yisrael Emim Mitzrayim, Bes Yaakov Meyam Lohes, real praiseworthy. And then later on he goes into the minor with a little bit, because he doesn't want to be away from the Nusach, the traditional Eastern European Nusach.
Uh-huh.
So he has a combination of true interpretation that would have been sung, I suppose, in a Vienna or in a Berlin or in a Frankfurt or in Amsterdam or London, Paris, these places. And then he goes to the Eastern European, and Moshe Genshoff had the capacity, the musical capacity, again, being an outstanding musician, to create this piece. It's not too long, but it's very effective.
Okay, so let's hear Genshoff and Betzeis Yisrael.
Beitzeis Yisrael Mimisrayim, Beis Yaakov Meyam Lohes, Oisa Yehud Alechal.
That was Moshe Gentchev.
And you know, in the text there, he says, Harim rakdu chayelim. Mm-hmm. The mountains were dancing like deer. And you say, Harim tirkedu chayelim. Mm-hmm. You can hear in the music the dancing. Yes. That's when you think of a text.
Mm-hmm.
Text, text, text.
Yes, you are a distinguished professor at the Bell School.
Yes.
How's the status of schooling for Chazanim here in America and at Bell's?
Well, you know, our students are divided at the Bell School of Jewish Music of Yeshiva University, are divided into three categories. Besides, we have a Chazanut for Sfaradim, and we have they are studying the tropes, and they are studying all kinds of things. But basically, our students are divided into three categories. One is a category of those with beautiful voices who will really become chazonim, who are lovely, they are musical, they are learning, they are serious about it, and they will be excellent chazonim as I understand what a chazon should be.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the group of people who don't have great voices but have a tremendous talent. They will be outstanding ballet tefillah, where the issue of nusach tefillah, the ancient, the authentic prayer modes of each prayer. You know, each prayer has a motif that has to be sung.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to sing it according to that. The chazan can improvise and everything, but there is basic to everything. And these gentlemen will be excellent ballet tefillahs. And the third category is the group of guys who have all have outstanding ears, and they are learning the Nusach, and they are learning the Chazones. They will become the Mevinim, the experts, and they will be the heads, they'll be one day leaders of the communities to decide who really is doing it the right way as a Chazan, and who not necessarily.
Uh-huh.
And so we concentrate on these three categories of students, and we immediately recognize each one where he would belong, and it's so we have students all the time. We have with every semester we get new students, and of course the old students stay on, and they receive certificates of proficiency in Chazones and in Nusach HaTfilah.
Of course, the real problem has to do with once they get out and they're looking for a position.
Oh,
and
yes.
I over the years, get many emails and letters from young people in their teens, let's say, 17, 18, 19, and they'll say, I want to become a chazan. And I say, look, I don't know who you are. I don't know if you are a Malavani or a Helfgott or you may be on the top, and I'm not a judge of that. I said, but for the majority, if you want to make a living and raise a family and pay for yeshivas and all this, it's very, very difficult in this world that we live right now. And I suggest to them, I said, look, I think you should go out and earn a living. And if you want to become a chazan, let that be an avocation. But if you think that you're going to earn a living from it, it's very, very difficult.
You're absolutely right, Charlie. The very often we get the questions from our students, what are my chances in terms of placement for a job? And unfortunately, in Orthodox shuls, not too many Orthodox shuls have chazonim. Today, everybody, it has become, you know, the end of the book of Yehoshua and the beginning of the book of Shoftim, the book of Judges, has twice, or maybe even three times, the same pasuk. Bayamim ahem, I will translate it. Okay. Ein melech b'Yisrael, ish hayashar be'inav yaseh. In those years, there is no more king. Everybody does what they want. Today, you walk. The only chance I get to hear other people daven is usually in the summer when I'm in the mountains, the Catskill Mountains, and I hear people daven.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me want to stay home and to daven b'chidus. I just cannot take it anymore. And the people are, they don't know the nusach, and the pronunciation is not good. The punctuation is not good. They stop, they take a breath in the middle of a sentence in exactly the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Very seldom do they stop in the right place. Why? Because they don't pay attention to the text. I go back to what I've been talking about it. And then the nusach. So they know if the nusach, if the motives of that particular prayer has four different motives, they know one motive and they repeat it all the time. That means only 25% of the nusach. That's failing. In school, if you know only 25% of your material, you failed. If you know 50%, you failed. It's only 75 that you are moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very, very annoying. And how dare they become, they go to the Omed? Because he has a little bit of a voice, therefore he can be a Shliach Tzibur? Now, I don't know the person. I suppose he's religious and everything is okay and his behavior ethically and morally is okay. That's fine. But what about the knowledge of it? So Orthodox shuls, unfortunately, at the moment have problem in America. We do, people talk about the renaissance of chazones because there are concerts. So what do we find, really, Charlie, today? We find that young people all are being trained to sing at concerts. And what about the shul? What about the tefillah? What about the prayer? What about this whole notion of Jewish prayer? That does not exist. And sometimes when I mention it to some young people, they look at me as if I fell from I don't know, from some planet. That is unacceptable. And many of my colleagues, and I am not going to mention names, I blame them for doing it. In Israel today, every place there is a school for chazones. What for? In Tel Aviv, and in Jerusalem, and in Haifa, and in Petach Tikva, in Rishon LeZion, in Be'er Sheva, in Ashkelon, in Tzfat, in Tveria. What? And so one of the teachers was in New York, and he came to see me, and he says, you know, I prepared them so well for the concert. I said, what? Have you forgotten that there is a shul in the world? So you understand my...
Of course. Listen, I have listeners. Of course, I have many, many different types of levels of knowledge of my listeners. And there's a couple who I'm talking about for years. Mel Katsky, he's out in the Midwest, and Daniel Schwartz and others who bemoan the situation. And look, I don't know what to do. I mean, all I can do is...
I have an idea, Charlie.
Okay.
I have an idea.
Yes.
I think what we ought to do is we should take pick a Sunday, whenever, and we will get the people whom we know are serious, both professionals and balabatim. I would say not more than 20 people.
Okay.
Who know it, who care about it, and to sit down and put our heads together to see where do we go from here. Because things cannot go on like this. That's not the future of Chazones.
Uh-huh.
That if you make it only concerts, that's nothing. And what are the concerts? He's going to sing for me Esayna El Ahorim from Yardeni? He doesn't even know that Yardeni composed it. He says Moshe Kusevitzky. It's not Moshe Kusevitzky.
Mm-hmm.
There is a composer.
Right.
What are you going to say, La Traviata by Pavarotti? You don't say La Traviata by Mr. Verdi. Pavarotti was one of the singers who sang it. But you cannot just... So this, there is a lot of amarazes, lot of ignorance. And unfortunately, the ignorance very much prevails these days. So that people are not prepared to listen to somebody serious who cares about it. So, okay, I go around, I'm giving a lecture in Teaneck, New Jersey, about what to do and what not to do in the davening. And it will not be so much about Chazones, but it's going to be about altogether about prayer. For Balabatim, when they daven during the week, or even when they daven on Shabbos. And I care about it. You care about it. I think that you and I will devise a list of about 20, maximum 25 people, but serious people,
uh-huh.
who don't behave like in the Knesset in Israel, that one jumps into the others.
Okay.
To permit everybody to express his or her view. Where do we go? How do we handle this situation, Chazones? And what course of action to take? And there are things that can be done in order to prove to the public that this is a serious matter. Jewish prayer, if not done properly, is going to disappear. So what are we going to be left with in the shul? Shul is prayer. First and foremost, it's tefillah. Otherwise, you don't need a shul. All you need is a yeshiva to have a shiur or a sermon.
Yes.
Shul is a combination of tefillah and Torah. And you know, the end of Sefer Dvorim, Ha'azinu, Divrei HaShira Hazot. So the whole Torah is being described as Shira, as song. And do people know, for example, that in all yeshivas in Europe, people used to study Blat Gemore in a nigun that helped to memorize it and to express certain and to emphasize certain points in the study of the our Gemara. So maybe we'll do that.
Okay.
We'll put our heads together.
Yes.
We have to be optimists.
Always.
People do like to pray. People do want to daven.
And they
but
want
they
to
want
learn.
The real thing. They want they the want real learn. Thing. And we will give it to them.
Okay. I know we have listeners listening right now who will contact me, and I look forward to Yossi. We'll do it.
Yeah, take their names and
absolutely.
Telephone numbers.
Absolutely, I suspect I know who they are. Now I'm gonna, if you don't mind, I know we were going to play Moshe Kusevitzky's Zochreinu B'Zicharon, but I want to. We only have time for two more selections, and I want to play from your first album, Tikkab.
The Shofar.
Wow,
that album is Simchu et Yerushalayim. That was done in 1970.
Wow,
we are talking about 40 years ago. My first album. You can hear that I'm a young boy there, very young boy, with a choir and an organ. It was composed by Shlomo Ravitz, my rebbe, and in between, for example, Vavienu Letzioni Chaberina, I put in myself the nusach of Rosh Hashanah.
Okay.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful composition. And I hope one of these days to reissue this record. At the moment we have it only on a record, but we issued it on a CD.
Okay, here it is.
Elokeinu
havoseinu.
Hashem.
Wow, Yossi, that's 40 years ago.
Hi, Nissan. I'm in the middle of can be talking about 15 minutes. I'm in the middle of radio.
Okay, we just have a few minutes to go. Yossi, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that was 40 years ago.
Exactly.
Wow.
It was the first album almost that was, no, maybe the second, was a wonderful cousin in London, Simon Haas, whose daughter just moved to, with his son-in-law, they moved to New York and became members in my show.
Oh,
And Shimon Haas was an outstanding cousin, outstanding. And he came out with the first Chazones record, and I was years later, I mean, he's much older, he's retired today. I came out and that made a big sensation in England, and by the way, it sold very well too. At that time, when I was, it was a combination with the orchestra, with choir, with organ.
Yes, it was beautiful, and a lot of strong selections about Yerushalayim and Israel.
Yes,
for sure.
Yes, and Ravitz, my teacher, was so happy. He was so proud of it because the Tkabe Shofar was his. And not too many people recorded his pieces, so it was nice.
Now, we just have a few minutes left, and I do want to get this one last selection for now. This is Mim Komcho with the Moscow Male Jewish Choir.
Yeah, that's a piece by Yankel Talmud, the composer of the Ger Hasidim. Verdiger sang it, David Verdiger sang it many years ago, recorded. I rearranged it completely, and I orchestrated it for a full symphony orchestra. This is with the Moscow Philharmonic Orchestra, the Moscow Choir, myself, live at a concert at the Bolshoi
wow.
in Moscow.
Okay.
I'm a sinner, Lord.
מחכים אנחנו לא Skadal, 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 Skadal
What a wonderful way to end this this special with cantor Yossi Malavani. Yossi.
Yes, sir.
It was just...
It's a lovely piece.
Yes.
Yeah, wonderful, and I love singing it. I've sung it in many concerts all over the world with choirs, orchestras, whatever. In shul also, when I had once a good choir with Mordechai Sobol, we sang it in the davening shachris also, yeah?
Uh-huh.
And people stood and... was a great feelings among the people.
Well, on behalf of my listeners and myself, I thank you for sharing your thoughts.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Anytime.
And Yossi, we wish you many more years of good health and to continue your good work.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.